thank you very much for joining us. I'm Dominic Halpin, and you're listening to Tech Native Podcasts. Thanks very much for listening in. I am delighted today to be joined by Eric Crocker, who is the CTO of Comport Consulting. We're here to talk about something very timely and relevant at the moment, which is ransomware attacks, specifically in the healthcare sector. And as many will know, we had the WannaCry attack on our NHS healthcare system here in the UK recently. So, Eric, coming to you, what makes the healthcare sector such an obvious choice for hackers and ransomware attacks?
Yeah, so healthcare is an interesting space. Healthcare institutions generally like to get as much value out of their assets that they possibly can before they purchase new assets or refresh their assets. So a lot of times what you end up with within their environment is a lot of old hardware that's out there that may not be patched up to snuff. May not be up to date, quite up to date. OS operating systems that are out there that aren't quite up to date or aren't patched properly. And so that causes vulnerabilities within the network. But also, one of the big things is that in healthcare, the value of information to a hacker or an attacker is very high. So it's much higher than it is for financial information. So when a hacker attacks a financial institution and gets your credit card, that information is valuable to them for a certain amount of time. However, if they have your personal information, such as your healthcare information, where you were born, your social security number, those things are much more valuable because those aren't things that you can necessarily call somebody and turn off. So out in the market space, the value of that on the black market of healthcare information is much higher than it is for if they just had your financial information, credit cards, loans, and things like that.
Absolutely. And it's obviously not just the information that an organization is at a loss with, it's also the penalties and fines. And in the US, you have HIPAA. So can you explain for our non-US listeners what that is and what kinds of fines healthcare firms would face?
Yeah, HIPAA was established. It's an act that was established to protect user data specifically in healthcare. So it's the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And so it was, as I said, established to protect users' data, make sure that institutions that are holding on to that data are taking the proper steps in order to protect that, keep it secure, and ensure that hackers aren't getting that data, or even people within the institution who don't need to see that data aren't seeing that data. So to try to make the audience for your personal information as small as possible. As far as the penalties are concerned, the penalties can be quite considerable. So $50,000 U.S. can be the penalty for each infraction. So if you were you had 100 users who you know, their information got out there, so that would be $50,000 for each one of those 100 users. So $5 million. So that's, you know, fairly considerable. But on top of that, you know, if you're negligent in how you handle that particular data and you have not taken actionable steps that you know should be taken, if you're negligent in handling that information, you actually can be sent to jail. I'm not sure if there's anybody who's actually gone to jail for not handling somebody's data properly, but it is a potential possibility. But bigger than that is the Medicare system in the United States. So the Medicare system is the biggest insurance payer in the United States. And if you have been negligent in how you're handling data, if you've allowed security breaches, you can actually be kicked out of the Medicare system and not be allowed to get any more payments from Medicare. So that is probably the largest deterrent or the largest reason why healthcare institutions want to protect end users' data.
Yeah, I've seen some of the fines and they're pretty shocking. So it's understandable healthcare organizations of all types are keen to protect themselves. What can they do to keep secure?
So there's a variety of different steps that institutions can take to protect themselves. One of them is educating users. So in the case of ransomware, which we've seen quite recently, these are really more social engineered emails that are being sent out to end users that they're being tricked into opening up, or maybe they're curious and they want to see what's inside there. And then the virus gets inside of the institution and spreads itself throughout the institution via these vulnerabilities, various vulnerabilities that are out there. And so educating users is one thing, ensuring that security protocols are being met. And then particularly in the case of ransomware is ensuring that they have they've protected the data, they've backed up the data properly, making sure that they actually have valid backups out there and that they can recover from if they do get, for instance, hit by ransomware.
So in your eyes then, what does a comprehensive data protection strategy look like in healthcare?
Yeah, so, security is always a multi-layered approach. And so, obviously the endpoint security is a big issue, making sure that users are protected, at their desktops. So making sure that there's antivirus out there. Again, as I said, making sure that users are educated about what's going on out in the world as far as the internet and electronic security and things like that, but also making sure that they have a comprehensive strategy around what they're doing with their data, how they're protecting their data, where are they housing their data, what types of media that the data is being held on. So in general, as a best practice, we try to adhere to what's known as the 3-2-1 rule. So having three copies of your data out there, usually you have a production copy and then two backups, and then also having two different types of media that the data is being kept on, so that you have, if there's an attack, that it's not an easy target to just target one type of media, and then also having one off-site someplace, so one that's sort of kept in a lockbox, so to speak, that is kept someplace that's not attached to your network, so it's not easy for people to get to, and it's nearly impossible for hackers to attack it.
So what about ransomware protection itself? Obviously, the staff are on the front line there, so what does best practice look like, and how does a company educate their staff?
So as I said before, educating the end users, a lot of times people just are not aware of what's going on, out in the world as far as, as far as electronic media is concerned. A lot of people, even though it's been out in the news, they don't understand exactly, what ransomware is. And we want to make sure that everybody understands how big of a threat it is. So that's, that's one thing that we can do. As I said, making sure that you have, you've protected your data in terms of backups and where I'm keeping my backups, and also ensuring that you have valid backups. So testing your backup strategy, and making sure that the data is actually there when you need it, and not waiting until there is an incident within your environment to see if you actually have a good backup that you can recover from.
Now, Comport Consulting has a great depth of experience in healthcare, among other industries, of course. So with healthcare in particular, on day one, say you're called in to do a needs analysis for a healthcare company, what do you look for? What are the kinds of things that are on your checklist?
Yeah, so we want to ensure that the end users, our customers, know exactly what they have out there, because a lot of times people just don't understand the breadth of the data that they have out on their network or the number of devices. Over time, networks grow, data becomes very large, and sometimes people lose track of what's out there. So we want to make sure that they understand what kind of data is out on their network, where that data resides. And then we want to take a look at their backup and recovery strategy, their disaster recovery strategy as well. So we'll take a look at all those different things, and we'll make some recommendations based upon best practices in the industry and things that we've seen out in healthcare. And one of the big things that we're looking at today is making sure that the end users have that air-gapped copy of data available to them that's not connected to their network, that is not easily accessible, nearly, as I said, impossible for hackers to get to, because it's sitting off-site someplace, it's not connected to their network anywhere. And so a lot of times we'll go in and we'll use tools like Veeam to take a look at their environment, take a look at their backup environment, their strategy, and really understand what it is that is vulnerable in their network, and then design a solution on how we can help them protect themselves against a variety of different attacks.
Fantastic. And what's new with Comport Consulting? What are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, so, us as Comport, obviously, we have some service offerings that we offer to our customers. One of the big things that we're doing right now is we're providing a service called Comport Secure, which allows users to keep a copy of data outside of their network on our network that's easily accessible from an air gap perspective. So it's not so somebody can't get into their network and then immediately have access to that copy of data, but users can connect to our network. Administrators can connect to our network and then grab that copy back and restore a copy of that data into their environment fairly quickly. So we have this service that's available to our customers. is also disaster recovery as a service. So if you want to spin up your backups or your environment, your VM environment out in our environment, you could do that as well. So those are just some of the services that we provide to our customers. And obviously that helps them protect against things like ransomware and the WannaCry virus.
Wonderful. And you've been doing this a very long time. What's been the highlight for the company so far?
Well, the biggest highlight is really just being able to help customers. And then, you know, when we actually, you know, get a call from somebody who's been hit by, you know, this particular or any type of disaster, actually being able to help them. So they knowing that they have a copy of data that's sitting out someplace else, that's been a verified copy of their data, being able to help customers get back to a good point, a state that they feel comfortable with, that they know that they can go out to their management staff and say, you know, we've tested this. We know this is sitting out here. If we're ever, you know, hit by a virus or some other type of attack, that we feel very confident that Comport can help us get us back to a good state.
Now, of course, you're a member of Cloud 28 Plus. So could you tell us about the platform and what being a member means to you in terms of the experience you've had?
Cloud 28 Plus has been great. They have provided us with a great way, quick way to get data on technology that's out there. So easily see what's available out there in the marketplace and get information very quickly and put all these different pieces together for a comprehensive solution for our end users and our customers. It is a big, you know, consortium of technology companies. It allows us to get our message out there for other technology companies. It's a big repository or really a marketplace really to go out there and find out who has expertise in what different areas. It's just a very easy way to connect with other technology companies in the space.
Wonderful. Eric, I'm extremely grateful. It was very interesting talking to you. Thank you very much for your time.